This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 10. We read, "Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him, before and behind, he chose out of the choice of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, and they set themselves in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, 'If the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the children of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be of good courage. Let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. And let the Lord do that which is good in His sight.'" A background to this story. Nahash, who was the king of Ammon, had died. And David decided to send some emissaries to his son Hanun to send David's condolences unto him because of the death of his father. And as these men came, there were counselors to King Hanun who said, "Do you think that David is really sincere in sending these men with condolences? Can't you see what's happening? David is planning to attack you, and these men are only spies." And so Hanun took these ambassadors from David, and he treated them shamefully. He shaved off their beards, and then he cut off their robes until they were like mini skirts, and he sent them away. News came to David of how shamefully his men were treated. And they were embarrassed to return to Jerusalem. And so David sent a message to them to wait in Jericho until their beards had grown out again. And then they were to return to Jerusalem. But David decided to respond to this insult and to send Joab and the army of Israel over against the Ammonites. Now, Hanun, when he realized David's reaction to what he had done, and realizing that David was going to send the troops to take vengeance upon him for this terrible insult, he hired mercenaries to come from the area of Syria to help him to fight against David's army. He hired some 32,000 with chariots and with horsemen to come and to aid him in the battle. So as Joab came to Ammon with his troops, with the armies of Israel, the men of Ammon came out of the city and set themselves up in battle order. And then, as they were preparing to battle against the Ammonites, the Syrians with their chariots and their cavalry units came up behind them. And Joab realized that suddenly they were trapped. They had fallen into a trap. They have enemies in front of them. They have enemies behind them. And so Joab said to his younger brother Abishai, "We'll have to divide our army into two regiments. I will take the elite troops, and we will fight against the Syrians," because they had the chariots and the cavalry units, and thus they were better equipped. So Joab will take them on with the elite troops. And Abishai, you take the other troops and you fight against the men of Ammon. And if the Syrians start to get the best of the battle, then you come and help me in the battle against the Syrians. If the Ammonites begin to get the best of you, then we will come and help you against the Ammonites. And then he said, be of good courage. In other words, things aren't looking so good. We're surrounded. They are armed with chariots. They have their cavalry units. But be courageous. And let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for our cities. In other words, he is saying, set a good example before your men. It's sort of akin to the instructions of Paul to his young son in the faith, Timothy, when he said, be an example to the believers. Don't show any fear, Abishai, or reluctance to go into battle. Know that your bravery will inspire bravery. Your confidence will inspire confidence. But fear inspires fear. When the children of Israel had come through their wilderness experience and were now at the border of the promised land, and Moses is addressing them for the last time, because Moses could lead them to the land, but he could not lead them into the land because of his failure to properly represent God. And so they are now ready to enter into the land, and Moses stands before the people and he said, be strong, of good courage, fear not. Don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God will go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Pretty much what Joab is saying to Abishai. Be courageous. Be valiant. And we'll just leave the consequences with the Lord. Joab said, let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. We will go into the battle. We will do our best. And then we'll just leave the rest to the Lord. God never requires from you more than your best. You may not be the most talented or qualified person for the job. Your best may not be nearly as good as that of someone else. But if you do your best, that is all that God requires of you. Oftentimes we seek to excuse ourselves from serving the Lord because of a sense of our own inadequacies. We realize that there are others that could do the job much better than we can. They are more qualified. They are more capable. They have more talents. But God doesn't require that I do the very best, only my very best. Basically, Joab is saying, we will do what we can do. We will do our best, be courageous, be valiant, and then we'll just leave the results to the Lord. I have found that this is a good motto for life. Do your best, commit the rest. Oftentimes, a person uses the fact that they are trusting in the Lord as an excuse for their indolence. Trusting in the Lord should never be offered as an escape for my not doing my best, for my just sort of giving a half-hearted effort to the Lord. I'm to give to God the very best that I have. I'm to offer to Him the very best that I can do. Paul wrote, when a person runs in a race, though there are a lot of people who run in a race, only one is going to receive the prize. So run that you might obtain. In other words, Paul is saying, give it your very best. Don't be slack. Give it your very best. Speaking of himself, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. The Bible tells us that in the day that we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, in that day He will be found by us. Some people take a very passive attitude toward their needs and toward their relationship with God. If the Lord wants me to work, then the Lord will have someone call me up and offer me a job. No. You pray for a job and then go out and knock on as many doors as you can and trust the Lord to open the right door. You do your best, and then you leave the rest to the Lord. Some people are just plain lazy, and they seek to pass off their laziness as trusting in God. I know that we have God's promise that He's going to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. But that doesn't mean I'm just to stay home and wait for someone to come to the door to offer me a check to pay my bills. God has been very faithful to me through the years in keeping this promise of supplying all of my needs. But many times God supplied my needs by giving me work that I could do that would help pay for the bills. And oftentimes, in fact, the majority of the time, God provided by providing work for me to do outside of the ministry to cover the bills of the family. And there were occasions, true, where God did provide in other interesting and miraculous ways. So many times we would not have money for dinner, and there would be groceries left at our front door, or we'd not have money for dinner, and in the mail would come a letter with a check, or different ways by which God many times provided for our needs, but most often He provided by giving me an opportunity to work in order to meet the needs of the family. When we were pastoring in Huntington Beach years ago, and the salary was not adequate to meet the family needs, things like tennis shoes for the boys would be a major problem because they just didn't fit in our limited budget. However, Smith Brothers Mortuary was right near the house, and they would oftentimes call me. I did solo work for them, and I did first calls for them. And if the person didn't have a minister, I would oftentimes do the service for the person. But I got $5 per body on first calls. And I'd go out and pick up the body and bring it into the mortuary. And so often when, say, the boys were needing tennis shoes, and I didn't have the money to buy them, and, you know, you put the cardboard in the soles, and I'd get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they'd say, you know, there was an accident, and we have two bodies to pick up at Hoag Hospital. Well, that was $10, and get up out of bed and go pick up the bodies and deliver them, and buy tennis shoes for the boys. I said, thank you, Lord, you provided for our needs, you know. And it was amazing the way the Lord would always provide, but it was always doing my part, doing my best. It isn't just lying in bed and opening your mouth and saying, okay, God, if you want me to eat today, just drop it in, you know, and I'll chew it up. No, it doesn't work like that. Trusting in the Lord is never an excuse for laziness or for doing nothing. It's important that I do all that I can do. I do it the best I can do. And it may not be the best, but it is my best. And that's what God counts. I never fret or worry over a task that God has called me to perform if I know that I have done my best. I may have fallen on my face. I may have really messed it up, but it was the best that I could do. And so I rest in that, and I just commit the rest to the Lord. Lord, really a mess, but that's the best I can do. And I don't fret about it. I don't lose sleep over it. I don't worry about it because I know that I did the best I could. The only time I'm really troubled is when I feel that I didn't do my best, that I didn't go into it wholeheartedly and give it my best. And then when it fails, I am troubled by that because I realize that it was my fault. I didn't give it my best. But what assurance when you know that you've done your best and that it's up to the Lord from here on. I can't do any more than my best. And so I rest in that. I did it the best I knew. I did it the best I could. Dances. It turned out to be wrong and a total flop. But I don't worry about that because I did the best that I knew how under the conditions. There are so many people who are so afraid of failure that they end up doing nothing. They seem to have the philosophy that if I do nothing, then I can be certain not to make a mistake. But that's a big mistake, to do nothing. The only person that makes mistakes are the persons that are doing something. And if it is doing it the best you can, then you don't need to worry about those mistakes. God doesn't always call the most qualified person to do His work. For God isn't always looking for ability, but God is looking for availability. And as we look at the Bible and we see the men that God called, they weren't always the most qualified men. When God called Moses, Moses offered, "Sir, I can't really talk fluently or articulate without stuttering. And Lord, you need to choose someone else." But all God was asking is that Moses do his best. When God called Saul, Saul said, "Oh, no. I come from the least tribe, Benjamin. And my family is the least in the tribe of Benjamin. Surely God isn't wanting me." Gideon tried to disqualify himself because he felt that there were those that were so much better qualified than he was. And interestingly enough, many times it's because of the lack of qualifications that you have that God called you to do something. You see, if God called just extremely talented people, then as they accomplish the work of the Lord, you say, well, look at how talented they are. This person is just oozing with abilities and talents. And you would be giving glory to the person. God wants to work, but he wants the glory for the work that he does. And so he oftentimes uses the least likely person to do the work. That person that knows he's not qualified. He knows he doesn't have the abilities that others may have. But in doing your best and then watching God do the rest and do the work, you're not going to go out and brag about what you've done. You realize that it wasn't you. It wasn't your ability. It was God that did the work. And you give the glory to God. And that's exactly what he wants. And that may be exactly why God's tapping you on the shoulder this morning and saying, I want you to do this work for me. And as you offer your excuses of why you can't do it, what you don't realize is that you're qualifying yourself for the job, because that's really what God wants. To use, well, as Paul said, observe, my brothers. God hasn't always chosen the noble, the wise, the great people. But he chooses just simple people. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. But he chooses often the foolish things of the world. And the purpose is to confound those that are wise. As they were looking at Peter and John, they were amazed that God would use these men. Are simple, they're uneducated, they're ignorant men. And they were amazed at what God was doing through them. God wants to work. He doesn't always choose the most qualified. He chooses people like you and like me to accomplish his purposes in order that he might get the glory for what he has done and what he wants to do. So here is Joab, Abishai. They've been caught in a trap. The army of Israel is surrounded by the enemy. And so they do their best. They make their plans. We'll divide into the two companies. I'll take the elite. I'll go against the Syrians. You take the others. You go against the Ammonites. If I need help, you return and help me. If you need help, I'll come over and help you. Be courageous. Be valiant. And we'll leave the results with the Lord. Let the Lord do what is good in his sight. Sometimes we feel like giving up. To surrender without even a fight. We're prone to say, what's the use? There's no sense of even trying to fight it. The evil forces of darkness have control of the media, and they are pumping out corrupting, filthy stuff all of the time to bring down the whole moral standard of the nation. They have the money, they have the power, they have the influence. We look at the legislation and we see the corrupt legislation that's coming out of Sacramento, all of the pro-homosexual bills and these things, and we think, no sense trying to fight it. It's, you know, it's just overwhelming. And we're prone to give up without a fight. We're prone to surrender to the enemy. But as Joab said, be courageous. Be valiant. We'll do our best. And then we'll just leave it with the Lord. And thus, we should never excuse inactivity, because the battle is too big. The battle is too great. When we're faced with the overwhelming odds, then is the time to hear the words of Joab to his young brother Abishai. Be of good courage. Behave yourself valiantly for the people and for the cities of our God. And then let the Lord do that which is good in His sight. Let's pray. Lord, we ask You to forgive us for many times surrendering without even a battle, giving up to the enemy without even trying. Lord, we ask You to forgive us for our inactivity. And Lord, though we have our trust in You, and we know that unless You build a house, it isn't going to be built, yet we know, Lord, that You've called us to give ourselves and to do our best. And may we do that, Lord. May we give to You our best efforts. And then, Lord, and then only, may we commit the results and the rest to You, knowing, Lord, that it's up to You to do it, but we'll be happy to cooperate and do the best we can and leave the rest to You. Implant, Lord, in our hearts this important truth today, that You require, Lord, that we do our best for You. And may we indeed respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?